you're a blessed people today just to be here and to be celebrating this. And I say good on you. Bless you for giving priority to acknowledge the reason for Christmas, this celebration that we have. We're going to sing another song, and this is a more modern carol called Starry Night. And it sort of takes on the story of what the shepherds experienced as they encountered the angels and Jesus.
On a starry night, when the hills were bright, earth lay sleeping calm and still. Then in a cattle shed, in a manger bed, there a boy was born. And all the angels sang for him, the bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born, King of all the world. And all the angels sang for him, the bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born. Soon the shepherds came that way, where the baby lay, and were kneeling by his side. And their hearts believed again, for the peace of man, for a boy was born. Born King of all the world, and all the angels sang for him, and bells of heaven rang for him, for a boy was born, King of all the world, for a boy was born.
Please be seated. All right, boys and girls, we want to keep the story rolling along, but for you to find out more, you've got to come down the front. Daniel's got something special for you.
Are there any boys and girls here? Or did they all stay home, guarding the presents? Who have we got here today? Now, how excited were Mum and Dad this morning? Were they like, I want to open that present? And you were like, no, hey, Mum and Dad, cool it. Just calm down. There'll be time for that. Is that how it happened? Whose mum and dad's been shaking the presents under the tree? And you're like, hey, yeah, Mum and Dad, they're out of control, aren't they, Evie? All right, have a seat, guys. Welcome. Okay, thanks for coming this morning. Yeah, let's all snuggle in. We've got this book to look at, so we're going to have to snuggle in nice and close so we all can see. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you ready? Who's good with answers? Oh, okay. All right, here we go. Here's my question. Now, what did you guys have to do to be part of your family? Be born? That's a good way. Was there any entry requirements? Did you have to, like, be well-dressed? Not well-dressed or dressed at all? What about did you have to smell good or didn't really matter? Mum didn't mind. That's good. What are some other things? They didn't care. They were just like, come on in, welcome to our family. Sort of like that. All right. Well, today I'm going to read you guys a story about some people who weren't super well-dressed and were maybe a little bit smelly. And when I was thinking about doing this, I was thinking I should have brought in a can of lanolin. Who knows what lanolin is? Anyone out there? Yeah. It's a can of something that smells like sheep, and I was going to, like, spray you guys So you could be really part of the story. That'd be fun, wouldn't it? All right. It would be smelly, definitely. The fish. Yeah, you was going fishing today. Lucky. That sounds good. And crabbing. Sounds good. Well, who knows? Maybe crabs like sheep. Okay. Now, my dad's been telling the story out of the account that a guy called Luke wrote, so I'm going to keep it going. Now it says in here, that same night, in amongst the other stars, suddenly a bright new star appeared. Of all the stars in the dark vaulted heavens, this one shone clearer and blazed in the night and made the other stars look pale beside it. God put it where his baby son was born, to be a spotlight shining on him, lighting up the darkness, showing people the way to him. You see, God was like a new daddy. He couldn't keep the good news to himself. He'd been waiting all these long years for this moment, and now he wanted to tell everyone. Who can see the big star? Pretty big. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, I was listening to an astrologist the other night, and he was saying it may have even been like a really big comet, because a comet has a tail, and it like lights up the sky and even points places. All right, you ready? So he pulled out all the stops. Are you listening? What can you see? Can you see some sheep? Yeah. He sent an angel to tell Mary the good news. He'd put a special star in the sky to show where his boy was, and now he was going to send a big choir of angels to sing his happy song to the world. He's here, he's here. Go and see him, my little boy. Now, where would you send your splendid choir? To a big concert hall, maybe? Or a palace, perhaps, maybe where people were really well-dressed and smelled good. God sent his choir to a little hillside outside a little town in the middle of the night. He sent all those angels to sing for a raggedy old bunch of shepherds watching their sheep outside Bethlehem. And what do you think the shepherds smelled like? Maybe smelled like sheep, and maybe smelled like people who hadn't showered for a while. Maybe smelled like people who slept on the ground. In those days, remember, people used to laugh at shepherds and say they were smelly and call them other rude names, which I can't possibly mention here. You see, people thought that shepherds were nobodies, just scruffy old riffraff. But God must have thought shepherds were very important indeed, because they were the ones he chose to tell the good news to first. That night, some of the shepherds were out in the open fields, warming themselves by a campfire, when suddenly the sheep darted. They were frightened by something. The olive trees rustled. Was that a wing beat? What do you think it was?
God.
It was God? Think it was something super bright? Do you think the sheep are trying to sleep? The sheep were like, oh, turn the angels off. They turned around. Standing in front of them was a huge warrior of light, blazing in the darkness. Don't be afraid of me, the bright shining man said. Do you think the shepherds were like, okay, we won't be afraid? Or do you think they were a little freaked out? Would you be a bit freaked out if that one showed up in your backyard? That would be a bit scary. He said, the bright shining man said, I haven't come to hurt you. I've come to bring you happy news for everyone everywhere. Today in David's town in Bethlehem, God's son has been born. You can go see him. He's sleeping in a manger. Behind the angel, they saw a strange glowing cloud, except that it wasn't a cloud. It was angels, troops and troops of angels armed with light. And they were singing a beautiful song. Glory to God. To God be fame and honor and all our hoorays. Then as quickly as they appeared, the angels left. The shepherds stamped out their fire, left their sheep, raced down the grassy hill, through the gates of Bethlehem, down the narrow cobble streets, through a courtyard, down some steps, past an inn, round a corner, through a hedge, until last they reached... Where did they reach?
A stable.
Sounds like you guys know this story. Here we go. All right, what animals can we see in here? Cow, maybe a sheep. Oh, and who are these guys down the bottom here? Are they some well-dressed prince and princesses? Or are they some shepherds? A tumble-down stable. They caught their breath. Then quietly they tiptoed inside. They knelt on the dirt floor. They had heard about this promised child, and now he was here. Heaven's son, the maker of the stars, a baby sleeping in his mother's arms. This baby would be like that bright star shining in the sky that night. A light to light up the whole world, chasing away darkness, helping people to see. And the darker the night got, the brighter the star would shine. So do you think they felt pretty special? these guys down here being invited to see God's Son, and they didn't have to be Oh, you okay? Do you want to hop up there? They didn't have to be on the naughty or nice list. They didn't have to be well dressed. They didn't have to have like just showered or combed their hair or do anything special to be right for Jesus. They just had to go and listen to what the angel said and go and meet him, because they were always invited. And I love that story because it shows us that even from the very start of Jesus' life, he's here for everybody. He's not just here for the clever people or the smart people or the people that follow all the rules. He's here for all the people. And that means he's here for all of us. Does that sound good? That sounds like a good deal to me. So, as we remember that, I reckon we pray together. So what we'll do is we'll close our eyes so we don't get distracted. We'll put our hands together so I don't go wandering. Let's pray together. Lord God, I want to thank you that you sent Jesus to bring us back into your family. I want to thank you that we didn't have to be anything special. I want to thank you that you are happy to give your news to the most ordinary people. And I want to thank you that everyone, even the ordinary ones that other people might think are ordinary, we're all special to you. And we're all your kids to you. And I want to thank you that you made a way for all of your kids to come back into your family through Jesus. And I pray that as these kids grow, that they would know that more and more. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming down. All right. Now, we're going to sing a song. And this is a bit of a new one. Well, it is a new one, I'm pretty sure. But is this one on? All right. So what we'll do is Mum and I will sing the verses, but if you would like to join in with the chorus, you're very welcome to. I think it's a song we can probably do together a little bit. But yeah, if you're not feeling great about it, don't worry, just enjoy. What I love about this song is it really, the words create some beautiful imagery about what it would be like for the shepherds that night to come and be invited to join in this piece of history and what happened with God sending his Son. So,
I'm here with the others, so the heavens testify. Now I hang back in the shadows, I want to come close. I want to know, she sees me shivering here. She smiles with a nod. I walk through the mud and straw to the newborn Son of God. Come, let us adore him. He has come down to this barren land where we live, and all I have to give is adoration. A wrinkled hand through the dust and the flies, wrapped in rags like we are, and with barely open eyes. He takes my finger and he won't let go, and he won't let go. It's nothing like I knew before, and it's all I need to know. Have to give him his adoration. Come, let us adore him. He has come down to this world we live in. All I have to give him is adoration. God is with us here, oh Emmanuel. God is with us here, oh Emmanuel. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Jesus, I remember.
us hear and he won't let go. Oh, come let us adore him. Come let us adore him. He has come down to this world we live in. And all I have to give him is adoration. Let us adore him. He has come down to this world we live in. And all I have to give him is adoration. And all I have to give him is adoration. All I have to give him is adoration.
I wonder whether in thinking about some of the words of these songs and some of the things that have been shared already, whether it just helps us, even challenges us to bring back into perspective and to a level of appreciation that really needs to exist in our heart. And I think words like all I have to give him is adoration, even thinking about those words, and I guess I've had a little bit more of a heads up than you because Daniel said, could we do this song on Christmas Day? It just means a lot to me, he said. And as I think about those words, all I have to give him is adoration. And I think how easy it is for us to be adoring so many other things. And Jesus becomes the also-ran. You know, we've factored a lot of also-rans into, a lot of extras into the story. I'm always amazed by, everything else gets priority. Everything else gets attention. Everything else gets focus except Jesus. Even you'll notice the flags downtown, they can't mention the name of Jesus. They can't even say the word Christmas. They just say season's greetings. We can't acknowledge the name of Jesus anymore because it might offend somebody. We kind of pushed the limits last Sunday. If you're part of Messy Church, we went down to the foreshore, and this is probably going to go on the internet, but anyway, we did open-air preaching. That's probably pushing the barriers just a little bit in our society these days. We shared Jesus with people. We sang songs. We had a wonderful time. We showed hospitality. We celebrated together, and Jesus was right in the middle of that. And that's how it should be. And I pray that even as we are here today, and you're here while probably the rest of the world is sleeping in, perhaps, or just wildly unwrapping presents, I wonder whether you might be glimpsing something of God's priority. I want to say your salvation, God is tremendously invested in that. And that's why I've chosen these three words, just to kind of put there in our minds again today. Salvation, shepherd, not shepherds, shepherd, and saved. Three words. Salvation, because when he was given the name Jesus, because Mary was the first to know that she was going to have a baby boy, big surprise. She was pledged to be married and entered into a courtship with Joseph, but they had not yet been married and not come together. So big surprise for Mary to be saying she's going to have a baby, but she says, all right, Lord, be it to me as you have said. And the angel told Mary, you'll have a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. You know, if you read in Matthew chapter 1, I encourage you to read the beginning of Luke and the beginning of Matthew and refresh your minds again. If you read the beginning of Matthew, you see that when Joseph was confronted by the dilemma that my Mary's pregnant, how can this be? My lovely Mary, my this girl that has been pledged to me, she's pregnant. How can this be? And he thought, well, the only thing, I love her so much, but I'll just quietly, I can't marry her now. And an angel appears to him in a dream, and he says, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. So Mary knew that he was to be given the name Jesus, and Joseph was told he was to be given the name Jesus, but Mary was told he will be great. But Joseph was told, you're to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. You know, that's an outstanding thing. The name Jesus simply means the Lord is salvation. The name Jesus was a common name. I asked the musos this morning, only one person confessed to it. I said, has anybody here watched The Chaser? Only one person said they do. They were probably all home reading their Bibles in the afternoon, not watching television, but I confess I do like to watch the last part of The Chase. And I don't know whether you've seen The Super Nerd. Anybody seen The Super Nerd? There's two other people watch Chaser. Oh, right, really popular show, yeah. There's a super nerd, and his name is Isa. Isa. Well, that's Arabic. That's an Arabic way of saying Jesus, the name Jesus. I don't know what his convictions are. I don't know what his beliefs are, but that's what his name is, a common name. But a common name with an outstanding meaning. The Lord is salvation. So if there's one word I want you to remember, I want you to think about salvation. Because heaven is heavily invested in your salvation. Heaven sent its best so that you could know what it is to be brought back into God's family. God took the initiative. What's the next word? Shepherd. While Jesus was still an infant, this is months or maybe a year or so down the track, because I know on the Christmas cards we've got the shepherds and the wise men all sitting around in the kind of, you know, the cattle shed thing. But that was down the track a little bit time-wise. And could have been up to 2 years. Jesus is still an infant. But the Magi were told that the place to look for this Messiah would be Bethlehem, because it's written by the prophet, and this is Micah chapter 5 verse 6, it's written by the prophet that, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Israel, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of the people of Israel. Out of you, Bethlehem, will come a leader who will be the shepherd of my people. I think it's pretty amazing that the shepherds got invited to see the shepherd. Isn't that amazing? They didn't know that. They didn't know that this one would be the good shepherd that would lay down his life for them. You know, we need someone to shepherd us through life. We don't just get a smooth and easy run. We do so much stuff that kind of messes up the story, our own stories, our family stories, or maybe the generation before messed it up for us. And our lostness and our struggle in this world that is a real thing needs to be met by a good shepherd that would lead us through it all. You know, a shepherd knows how to guide his sheep. A shepherd knows where the good pasture is. A shepherd knows where the dangers are and what where and how to protect his sheep from the very real dangers that are about. A shepherd is looking ahead for provision. A shepherd is the one who provides direction, who knows. We need someone like that in our life. You know, when we're young, and I saw a poster once, a teenager should leave home while they still know everything. Which is great advice, you know. Because when you, I discovered when I turned about 20, my parents, sort of from age 15 till about age 20, it was amazing how much my parents developed in their understanding. Like when I was 15, they didn't know that much, but by the time I was 20, I was quite surprised how much they'd got up to speed. Or I started to realise maybe I'm starting to become an adult and realise I wasn't so smart back then. You know, we can think we're young and strong and capable and we can do life and I can manage this myself. And only weak people need God. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Oh, only weak people need a crutch. You know what? All people need a good shepherd. They need an outstanding shepherd. And this shepherd, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. And that's what he did. And that's why we call him Savior. It's the greatest story. You know, I've just noticed of late there've been some tremendously sad and tragic things on the news, but there's been some really encouraging things. Wasn't it wonderful when, you know, we got the news that there was those four people on stand-up paddle boards that were going across Port Phillip Bay and it was a really blowy night and they've been caught out really badly. And I didn't even know there was a Swan Island in Port Phillip. Swan Island, is that where they landed? It's a top secret island. And they got blown over there. And boy, it wasn't good news when the police and the search and rescue were out and they found them. They were lost. What trauma that family would have faced as they were wondering what had happened to their almost grown-up kids. And there was a lost and found story. Well, it's an amazing thing. We have the story of this Savior. The greatest rescue mission ever has been undertaken by God in the most amazing way. And he sent his son and he sent him as a baby. He sent him in obscure and ordinary circumstances. And he catches us up into that if we would trust and believe the same message that the people of the day encountered. You know, if we read on in Mark or in Luke, we find these people that are impressed by their encounter with Jesus. As an old man, his name was Simeon, and he was really looking forward to the promises of what was written in the scriptures to that point. And he was truly looking forward to the Messiah, to the one that had been promised. And you know, on the eighth day, they bring Jesus to the temple, and this old man, Simeon, meets him, and this is his response. He says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you can dismiss your servant in peace. I can die with peace. Why? For my eyes have seen your salvation. I've got to ask you three words. Salvation, the Lord is salvation. That's what the name of Jesus means. Do you know that salvation? Do you know the Savior? This man, Simeon, he said, Lord, I can die now because I've seen your salvation. I've seen what I've been longing for all these years. I wonder, do you know him as shepherd? Do you know him as that good shepherd, that good friend, that one that cares for you and holds you and loves you no matter what? And I wonder, do you adore him because of how good he is, how great he is? You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. I wonder, do you know what it's like to be saved? To be saved from your sin. I distinctly remember the night that I asked Jesus to save me from my sin. Choked with shame and disappointment and pain that was deep in my heart, I called out to him I knew about him. But I had to call out and say, Jesus, please save me. Please forgive me. I believed about him. But I had to come to the place of really personally trusting him to save me from my sin. Because we get lost. We get lost in self-absorption. We get lost in our sense of self-sufficiency, which is really pride. I can do it myself. We get lost in self-gratification. In the next couple of days, you're going to hear on the television how many billions of dollars we've spent on ourselves to make ourselves feel happy and good. I got no problems with giving gifts. Giving gifts is great. It's lovely. It's lovely to be generous. But we get lost in being self-absorbed. We get lost in self-gratification. We get lost in an idea that we can be self-sufficient. And you know, when you strike that in somebody else's life, you know, they're so good and so capable and so everything, you know, it gets a bit up your nose, doesn't it? Gets a bit offensive. I know you're not supposed to say up your nose from the front in a church, but you know, people that are self-absorbed, that's pretty offensive. And people that just gratify themselves at other people's expense, well, that's offensive. You know, it's offensive to us at times, but it's offensive to God all the time, because we've misappropriated our lives. We've put our lives in the wrong place. But God says, I'll save you from that. You get lost in that. You are lost in that. But I'll save you and I'll bring you back. And that's the best news. I just got to finish by, this has just been so much on my heart over this period of time. I just got to share it. If you read on through the Gospel of Luke, you get to chapter 19 and you see Jesus is going through this town, and there's this bloke that he'd lived a fairly self-gratifying life, fairly self-sufficient, and he probably had all the toys, but he wanted to encounter Jesus. And he wasn't very tall. He was probably even, believe it or not, shorter than me. And he decided the best way to see Jesus would be to climb a tree, and I'll get a good view, and it'll be the safest place for me in the tree, because most of the people in the town hate me anyway. Sometimes the price of success is great. Well, Zacchaeus was up the tree as Jesus came past. And this moves my heart, because Jesus stops there and he looks up the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, I must go to your house today. And perhaps today the Lord Jesus is saying and calling you by name and saying, I must go to your house today. And encountering Jesus and having Jesus do this outlandish thing of this famous rabbi, this famous reputation teacher that everybody wanted to see, and he wants to hang out with a tax collector, a scammer, an abuser of his authority. And in encountering Jesus and seeing the need for a turnaround in his life, Zacchaeus says, you know, where I've ripped people off, I will give back four times what I've taken. And Jesus says to him, as all the religious people were outside criticizing him, saying, what on earth is he doing in the house of a person like that? And Jesus says to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. Now that's great. That's wonderful. But he says more than that. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost. You know, if you've not had Jesus as your Savior, if you've not had Jesus as your shepherd, then you've lived at a loss. You've missed the best part. You've probably known about him, but you may not have known him. Well, it's a beautiful and simple and lovely message, a recognition that I've sinned and I've fallen short of what God has got for my life to amount to. And so have you. The Bible says all of us have. And that's why this Christmas is so wonderful. And people try for magic and all sorts. Oh, the magic of Christmas. You know, they try for the magic of it in all sorts of pointless places. But this is the point. That this Saviour, whose name is Jesus, came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he did. And he does. So I'm asking you today to think about those words. Salvation, that's what the name of Jesus means. The Lord is salvation. He is the good shepherd. And heaven is heavily, tremendously invested in giving you the opportunity to be saved, to know this greatest gift that has ever been given, because you can't live in your sin and you certainly can't die in it. You need someone to forgive you, someone to show you a better way, someone to make things right, and Jesus is that someone. The greatest rescue mission that has ever been mounted. I have come, he said, to seek and save that which was lost. Let me pray, and then we'll sing one more song, and then we'll let you go home for your turkey or ham or whatever you got. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this Christmas 2022, all these years down from that very first Christmas. That great revelation of your heart, oh God, that you love people and that you would save people. And Lord, there's a way that you've provided for that, and it's this shepherd whose name is Jesus, who means that the Lord saves. The Lord is salvation. I pray that we be a people who would say, yes, I need you to save me. I need you to be my shepherd, to guide me through life. I can't do it by myself. And as wonderfully simple as it is to call out to you like that, Lord, I thank you for the profound difference it makes to lives. And I know many people's stories here have been changed by you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you be with those who this Christmas time feel alone. Lord, life with rich memories, but now a sense of aloneness. Lord Jesus, meet us in our aloneness, I pray. Lord, where there's pain and shame and worry and struggle, and where we feel like we've lost so much and we've known better but we couldn't do better, Lord Jesus, I pray, Saviour and Shepherd, Lord, meet us in our lostness. And we want to thank you for not coming as a majestic king that everybody had to be well-dressed and well-presented to have an audience with you, but you came to us in our ordinariness and in our brokenness, and you met us where we're at. We thank you for that, O Lord. We thank you that you are Emmanuel, God with us. Father, I pray that Lord, where the gift of salvation, where the privilege of being saved from ourselves, saved from our sin, is there for the receiving. I pray that today would be a day when we receive the greatest gift of all, the gift of your love and grace, your forgiveness and your peace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to sing a carol that I know will be well known to you. O Come All Ye Faithful. I'd like to actually change the words. You can take me up on this. I'd like to say, O Come All Ye Unfaithful, because you don't have to be faithful to come. You just have to be one that sees that you, sees your need, that you need someone to save you in your struggle. So don't be put off by the first line, because I know they meant well when they wrote it a long time ago, but and I probably got no right to change the words, but I think like that. Pray that you would take us to our homes, to our families, to our friends. I pray you take us remembering that you have done so much, that you, Jesus, are the centerpiece, that you are the one that is preeminent, that you are the one that is worthy of our adoration. And that, Lord, we might come with feeble faith, with the tiniest bit of faith and trust, but you would reach out to us and you said, but I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. We thank you, Lord, for being such a great Saviour, for being such a great Shepherd, and saving people like us from our sin. And we thank you now. We bless you this Christmas day, O God. May your blessing rest upon your people and all those who would seek you. May they find you and know you and find your love and grace. And this we ask in Jesus' name.